On this episode, Bob Jones University cover boy and Bruins legend Ray Holden stops by.
On it up to George. Gets it ahead to Matthews. Matthews in the corner for three. Yeah, baby! Chapman Harwood. Getting the pickpocket. Harwood coming back. The other way. Finger rolling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 2 of the Bruins Basketball Show. I'm your host, Coach Tony Miller, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. But before we get to that interview, for those of you that are listening on iTunes, if you could do us a huge favor, if you could give us a 5-star review, that'll go a long way in helping us get the word out about the show. For those of you that are watching on Facebook, if you could hit the like button or share that, again, that will really help us, and we will be forever grateful to you. So one of the things that Coach Uwaro and I have talked about for quite a while now is how we can involve some of the guys who used to be on the team and in our program back into our program. And one of the ways that we thought we could do that is by having them from time to time join us here on the Bruins Basketball Show. So today we decided to have Bruin legend, like I said before, Ray Holden join us. So Ray, thanks for stopping by.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you. So for those of you that this week we're in graduation week, and you graduated in
2016. So not that old.
That's but 2 years ago still.
I'm feeling it. Yeah, it's getting older. But
it's crazy to think it's already been 2 years.
Yeah.
So for those that haven't kind of kept up with you or haven't seen you in a while, kind of what are you up to these days?
Right now, I travel as a university rep for Bob Jones, which means I go to Christian schools, preach, promote Bob Jones, and interact with teens, you know, and try to get them to think about Christian education, which is huge. So I love my job. I've been really enjoying it this past semester. While I'm doing that, I'm doing some grad school myself online, just working on my master's in education. And that's kind of a long story why I'm getting a master's in education, but hopefully I want to use that to get into a city and be able to impact families that way. So
teaching in your future then?
Yeah, teaching's in the future. With a Bible degree in undergrad, I want to combine the two and potentially do church planting or church revitalization. So we would do that on the outskirts of a city. I would use education to invest in families, obviously through teaching, and then just trying to attack a community on two fronts. So a lot of people think that the way to fix poverty in a city is through the education system, but I think it's through the family, you know. And if you impact a family, then the education system can come in and reinforce what's being taught at home, and you go from there. So just big plans, you know, big dreams. That
coaching too,
coaching as well.
This if I'd have told you 6 years ago when you were being recruited that you would be coaching, yes, no, maybe.
I always thought that coaching would be in the future in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, discipleship is coaching.
Yeah.
Teaching in public schools or Christian schools is, in a way, coaching. But coaching basketball, I probably would have said no. But, you know, this is where God has placed me, and he's putting that burden on me. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. So I said 6 years ago. I was just thinking about this the other day. It's crazy to think 6 years ago. Can I tell them the story of the first game film I saw of you?
I'm nervous, man. I don't know. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's my show anyway, so I can tell it if I want to. So this is the spring before you graduated.
Right.
So this was the year that you were graduating, and Coach Ring had just been hired. And I was helping him in the spring. We had open tryouts and him trying to recruit but not living down here. And one of the players that he said, it was actually two guys he had mentioned. One was other first-year player
Kyle
for us,
Turner.
Kyle Turner, And then it was you. And so he had film of you. I hadn't seen Kyle at all. But he had film of you. And so he came over to my house because this was when his family wasn't in town, so he had nothing else to do. So he came over to my house at the time, and we watched a game where you were playing. And I think it was one of your last high school games. You can probably correct me on this. Pretty close game.
Very close game.
Came down to the wire.
Rivalry,
so you know which game we're thinking about.
Yeah.
So was it a jump shot or a three or what was it?
It was a three when I had a shot.
At the buzzer?
At the buzzer.
And you hit it?
Overtime, by the way, yeah.
Oh, that was overtime.
It was an overtime game. Came down to a last second shot. I still remember my high school coach is drawing up the play, and he's like, all right, Ray's going to come over the top in a double screen, and he's just going to shoot a shot, and if not, we're going to go into double overtime. And I said, coach, like, I think I catch it and shoot better if I go this way. And he trusted me. So it was against Granite Baptist at home. We had a perfect season at home. And
hit the game-winning shot. And then Coach Ring said, he actually warned me before that. He said,
oh my goodness,
don't hold it against them. Something to the effect of don't hold it against them.
Yeah.
After the shot goes in.
After the shot goes in, we all packed up and went home.
So. No, that's not how it ended. Hit the game-winning shot.
After the game-winning shot.
Runs over to the stands and yanks off his jersey and starts swinging it above his head. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I just kind of turned to Coach Ring. I was like, are you serious right now?
It's crazy. It was a big game.
Okay.
Also, I mean, you know, just career milestones in that game too. Like, I didn't know it at the time, but I had just broken the school record. I think I had 40 in that game, and I had just gotten my 1,000th point.
Oh, nice.
So
I didn't know that part of it.
It was crazy. All right. So it was a big game for me. But.
Fortunately, came to Bob Jones, and I don't know that we had any incidents of you pulling off your jersey during any games here.
Not that I can remember.
Yeah. So kind of then fast forwarding to you come in the spring.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was you and Kyle was really our first recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
It was just you two, right?
It was just us two.
Okay. So you had several offers coming out of high school. And I have talked about it. Mm-hmm. You talked about this, I think, before. And you had told me that there were a couple other schools, especially up there in East, that you were looking at.
Uh-huh.
So why come to a program, no history, yeah. No nothing? I mean, you were familiar with the school. You had family that was here, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. But what brought you or what? Why pick this over something else that was already established?
That's a good question. I was coming out of high school. I was being recruited by the Naval Academy mm-hmm. and Niagara University. Mm-hmm. Now, the assistant coach at the Naval Academy, Ron Ginyard, he actually went up to Niagara and was going to take me with him. So both schools were pursuing me, and a bunch of Christian schools like Northland, Baptist Bible College, now Clark Summit University, Lancaster Bible College, Clearwater, all these different schools were recruiting me to come and play. McDaniel College up there in Maryland. And I was really wanting to go to the Naval Academy. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, I'll go play D1 or at least ride the pine for 3 years and then play my senior year. If anything doesn't happen after that, then I'll at least get a good career, coming out of the Naval Academy. Long story short, I played in an AAU tournament out in California, best of the summer tournament. We won, but what lost me my scholarship was double technical ejection out of the game. I blew up at a referee. He made a bad call, and it was just bad. So I went off on the ref, went back to the bench, had a pity party, and Ron Ginyard was there, and he was watching everything. So. Right then and there, 30 seconds, I had lost both of those schools pursuing me. And I tried contacting them a week later, and they were like, nah, we don't want you. You don't have any integrity, no character. Yeah. We don't want somebody like that representing our program. Yeah. So I was bummed. Pretty much told every school that was recruiting me I didn't want to play basketball anymore because it was such a big deal for me. I knew that Bob Jones was a very great school academically.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted, I believe that God had burdened me to go and preach. And Bob Jones is known for just producing great preachers. So I said, man, I'm going to send in my information and see what happens. The very next day, Coach Ring called me and I got his voicemail. And he was down in New Orleans and he was watching the Final Four. And he was like, hey, you're my first recruit. Mm-hmm. I heard, you're not going to Northland or any of these other schools and you're coming this way. So it was really neat seeing how God orchestrated that.
Yeah, but, awesome. So got here and then next 4 years went by fast.
It definitely went by fast. But at times it dragged, tore my ACL my freshman year.
Yeah.
And
that was your first year?
That was my first year. I had 3 games left in the season, tore my ACL, and that was just before you guys went to Pensacola.
Yeah.
and I was bummed. I was so bummed. But that period of time, you know, just being injured and wearing that massive brace my sophomore year,
right?
It felt like forever, you know. And next thing you know, it was my junior year, and had to have another surgery just to make sure everything was all right. And
yeah,
you know, it just, time flies, but it was good.
Ever a point where you wanted to quit? Maybe through that.
Twice, actually. So, not a ton of people know this, but now you will. But just through the injuries and the ups and downs, trying to figure out what kind of player I was after the injury, it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out what my role was and what my identity was going to be on the court.
Mm-hmm.
It was very tough, both mentally and physically, on me. And I just remember sitting in coach's office twice, just bawling my eyes out, you know, telling him, hey, man, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And coach didn't give up on me. He said, you know, Ray, you might not be able to do things like you used to, or you might not be able to do things like you want to, but you still have an impact on the team, and we need guys like you around. So he pushed for me to stay, and he made me think about the entire team and not just myself. So I'm thankful that he did that.
Either through that or maybe separate from that, like biggest lesson learned, or
oh man,
if you can narrow it down to one thing.
Yeah,
it could be through that, through the injury, or not through that, totally separate.
Yeah, well, just to be transparent, I love being transparent. I mean, there's no better way to grow, and to really, I mean, just through transparency and struggles, like, you learn to appreciate God and
mm-hmm.
the trials that he's put you through. But a lot of people knew that I was engaged my senior year,
mm-hmm.
and that was really, I mean, it was an exciting thing, but coming out of that, you know, the breakup, all of it, it was really hard. But God was showing me that I was building my kingdom and not furthering his.
Mm-hmm.
And he was definitely teaching me that he's enough, that he's my satisfaction. So I was running to sports, I was running to grades, my job here on campus as a student ambassador, just, I was running to all of those things for satisfaction, for pleasure, for identity.
Mm-hmm.
And God just one at a time took those things out of my life and allowed me to hit rock bottom and made me realize that, you know, he's my satisfaction. So
awesome. That's great. So maybe kind of a little bit lighter, but probably most memorable moment as a Bruin. Why don't we go with like on court first?
Okay. On court, most memorable moment.
You can go on or off, either one.
Yeah, well, on court, dunking on a kid from PCC was definitely the most memorable moment.
All right.
I
had best dunk while you were here on the list, so does that, I'm assuming, okay, that kind of...
Even though that was a good dunk, I think the dunk I had against, who are they? Man, Calvert,
we didn't play Calvary.
Not Calvary. It was postseason game.
Oh, Carver.
Carver. Postseason
down
game.
Down a swoop?
No, we played it here.
Yeah,
it was our first
yeah.
region game.
Sure.
We had a bye, so this game we you know, got in. I was thankful we weren't playing Emmanuel yet, but mm-hmm. we're playing Carver, and I got the rebound, driving down the court, and the lane just opened like the Red Sea. And they had a guy on their team that was probably 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah. Yeah,
and I just went up and kind of dunked it.
I forgot about that.
And yeah, I think that was my best one.
Okay, best teammate you ever played with?
Yikes, that's not a fair question. I love all my guys, man. It was tough, you know. We, you know, like brothers.
Skill wise, not like who you liked or who
okay.
You
yeah, yeah. No. I get what you're saying. Best teammate I ever played with. Man, that's tough. I got to put Larry Taylor, Justin Matthews.
The politician now is going to start listening to everybody.
You have to. Kyle Turner, how can you not? And Marshall, like, I mean, those guys, they're all buckets. I mean, they're, you know.
Worst teammate you ever put. No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that one. How about biggest win?
Oh, USC Upstate. You know it. We beat USC Upstate, if I'm not mistaken, by 7 at USC Upstate. After they just made history on us, you know, a year or two before.
They killed us.
And I just remember going back to the bus like, man, that was the most humiliating loss. But, it was good.
Okay. Story you'll be telling your grandkids. Same thing. Upstate?
Yeah, I probably upstate. I mean, there's going to be a ton of stories I'm going to tell them, but I definitely tell them about upstate. So.
How about a story that maybe nobody else really knows about? Let's not get anybody in trouble, but like story that nobody else. I thought maybe you mentioned something from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is nice. Puerto Rico is where it's at.
Lights went out during the game?
Yeah, lights went out during the game. I was being stupid, you know. Obviously, I'm not even going to get into it. But, Puerto Rico was a ton of fun. You know, you play two games and people, I mean, they just kind of treated us like we were celebrities, to be honest. Like, it was a really cool experience. That was cool. So,
I think it helped a lot that we won, obviously, two games. It did. If we'd have lost both or even lost one, I feel like that trip would have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, it would have been really weird.
But. I think also looking back on it, the idea of what it was and being able to spend time with everybody was even better than being there. Yeah. I just remember the first night we got there when we went and practiced first riding on the party bus.
Yeah,
you'll have to ask about the party. You'll have to ask him about the party bus later. And that's then awesome. Getting to the university, and then basically it was the activity center with bleachers.
Exactly.
And playing out on the court, looking down and seeing that there was like a smashed egg on the court from the birds that had built a nest up above. And just thinking like, what are we doing?
It was crazy.
So hot. And then going and playing in that arena and stuff. It was just kind of like the experience looking back on it, I think, was cooler even than the...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't... I mean, again, you know, we didn't have the best facilities, but you go and do stuff like that, and you really start to appreciate the guys that you're doing it with, and then you come back home, and you walk in the DFH, and it's like, dude, we have a palace. You know, like, this place is awesome. Yeah. So it was great.
Yeah. But, okay, so kind of final thing, but if you were now having... You're 2 years removed from it, but either telling your younger self who is considering coming here or somebody else.
Okay.
Don't give me like the spiel that you do for recruiting, but like for a kid interested in coming to play, why this versus something else?
Yeah. I think, you know, just being out of it for 2 years now and looking back, something that I really appreciate, not just about the program, but about Bob Jones in general, is the fact that, you know, if I had gone to a state school, I would have been another number or another interchangeable part on a basketball team.
Yeah.
But here at Bob Jones, you know, people really do care. Like, they really do invest in you. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to leave and so hard to stay away. Like, you're here, you do 4 years, and you're like, man, I can't wait to get out. And then you get out and you're like, shoot, like, I had something good, you know, when I was down at Bob Jones. So, and even now, you know, just seeing the faculty members and having lunch with them and stuff like that, people really do care about you and want to invest in you and love on you. So yeah, that's my big thing. So, players that are looking to, you know, be a part of something bigger than themselves to have a huge impact in a program, you can definitely do that here, but just be aware and know that if you come here, then everybody's going to be looking to invest in you too. So it really is a family.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you to all that listen. Remember, if you're not following us on social media, please connect with us on Instagram and on Twitter at BJU Bruins MBB for men's basketball. That'll do it for this episode. Until next time, enjoy your journey.